This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And Beat has it out top between his legs to Maxey. Maxey for three, and it's in! Tyrese Maxey with a triple. Joel bounced it between his legs.
Yeah, Joel Embiid played. How about that? Sixers radio with the call as the Mavericks lose in filthy. Good morning, Metroplex. It's the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Of Sean, RJ, and Bobby live at Radio Row in New Orleans. And speaking of the Sixers, a move got made. Nico Harrison, not done. The 76ers traded Caleb Martin to the Mavericks for Quentin Grimes and a 2025 second-round pick. The internet was underwhelmed, and if I had to use them as the judge, jury, and executioner, it sounded like they felt like the Mavs did not come out on top in this deal, that you're basically trading for the same player, except you're throwing in a second-round pick as well. Caleb Martin on the year, 9 points. Grimes, 10. 1.1 three-pointers made for Martin, 1.7 for Grimes. 38% from three for Caleb, 40% for Grimes. And then Nico added on a second-round pick for a player 5 years older, but you do have more team control as they could not work out a deal with Quentin Grimes this past offseason.
Man, like, Philly just signed him in July. Like, when you sign somebody in July and you trade him at the first opportunity you get, because when you sign somebody, you got to wait a handful of months to be able to trade him. That's very, very telling.
Dallas just traded for Grimes around the same
time.
It's
true. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, look, sometimes you make a mistake and you get a mulligan, right?
It was 4 years, 28 million dollars. Jake Fisher
for Grimes. For Martin.
For Martin.
Yeah.
Jake Fisher said a lot of execs view that as negative future money. Dallas clearly likes the team control that his contract brings after they didn't get the Grimes extension. Grimes, by the way, led the league in defensive 3-point percentage this season. He's held three-point shooters to 23%.
Sounds defense, on par for a Nico trade.
Defense wins championships, according to Nico. So why would you trade somebody who's really good against their three-pointer?
By the way, we haven't even mentioned yet. Max Christie, pretty solid performance yesterday.
Yeah.
15 points, perfect from three, 9 rebounds. Too bad nobody cares because you're not Luka Doncic.
So the Martin deal is worth up to $40 million with escalators and such. ESPN, you want to see what they graded this one for the Mavs?
Yeah. No, save that.
Okay.
Save that for a little bit. We got a lot to get into. Could this help save your hatred for Nico? Sam Amick, very well-known reporter, New York Times, says that the Mavericks want Kevin Durant. League sources say the Mavs have dreams of adding Durant to their Davis-Kyrie Irving-led group. While the likelihood of Dallas pulling this off now appears unlikely, the mere idea of Durant joining the star-studded group sheds new light on the thinking of Nico Harrison after he was roundly ridiculed for the Doncic deal.
Who owes him a favor? Who owes Nico a favor that they have to go like, guys, they're not going to trade for this guy, but here's showing you that his idea wasn't stupid because he wanted to do this thing that he's not going to be able to do.
Someone tweeted the Mavs are quickly becoming, this is getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted the Mavs are quickly becoming one of the older teams in the league. Imagine if you trade for Durant then.
Then you're one of the oldest.
You got Durant, Kyrie, and the youngest one would be Anthony Davis, who's early 30s.
So Nico is...
You had a 25-year-old. Yeah. You had a 25-year-old rock star.
Nico is acting literally like a GM that has been told
you have 48 months to live.
Right. Yeah. Like this.
Like he's under. There's a death sentence.
Jerry. This is a. These are Jerry moves. Like these are absolute win now Jerry moves because Jerry's like, look, I don't have years. I don't have decades. I have years or months, whatever. Right.
Right.
So that's what Nico is acting like right now. Like if you want to go, if you were to move away from a 10-year window with Luka and. You shrink it down. The AD-KD window is 2.5 years.
There's only one way this move becomes a positive for Nico Harrison. And that is if he and Luka just secretly whispered in the back, we're like, we're going to trade you to L.A. We're going to get Anthony Davis. And then when you're a free agent, you're going to come back here. And then we're going to sign you again. And we'll just have built we'll put somebody around you. It'll be great.
Great. You know what? You know, Nico, I don't need that extra $116 million. I'll forego the Supermax just to come back here.
Yeah. I wonder how that would, I wonder if that's a technicality where it's like, because he had to be dealt and come back, like he can't sign it, or if it'd have to be an extension for him.
I have no idea. Like, I don't understand why he can't sign the Supermax to L.A. It makes no sense.
And why is Brian Windhorst saying it's not a foregone conclusion Luka doesn't sign an extension with the Lakers?
You know why? Because they literally didn't talk about it with anyone and give anyone a heads up to find out if Luka would have wanted to resign there.
That is...
Come on, man. That's
pretty crazy.
But, I mean, like, how often have we talked about him and Jokic, like, how, oh, my gosh, our fear is him and Jokic wanting to pair up?
Yeah, so?
So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm just saying it's not like L.A.'s the only option.
Right.
But I threw that out there. Like, it seems like they love each other. You don't leave as the next face of the Lakers and you're playing with LeBron right now.
Listen, you're not going to, players don't leave the Lakers or the Lakers want you.
Like, Luka Doncic was really born for a market like that.
Yeah, he was.
He's Showtime.
Yeah, he was. If the Lakers want to keep you, they're going to keep you. Now, I say that knowing Juan Soto just happened. Like, so you players do leave the
legend.
More
money. You can't give him more money.
You can't give him more
money.
In
the NBA.
That's true.
Less taxes.
You might want to go to Denver, right? He might want to go play alongside Joker. And he might have wanted to do that here. But the NBA has structured it so, like, what the players do is they sign the extension and then force their way out.
Right.
And that's what he would have done. He would have signed the extension. Every agent says, no, you sign. And then we force our way out.
More from Sam Amick. Whether it's Durant now or later, or perhaps even the Lakers, LeBron in the summer, if he were to decline his player option for next year, Nico Harrison appears to be targeting big-time stars with whom he's very familiar from his past life as a top Nike executive. And that is more ties to Anthony Davis when he was recruiting him out of high school. He's always had this crush on AD.
This is so bad. This is the buddy system. Like, I liked this guy when I was doing shoes. Let's go sign. And that means you are going to get increasingly older because the longer Nico Harrison is away from the shoe game, the older these players are that he's going to like.
Let's hear from Anthony Davis, who, by all accounts, by the way, we think he's soft and he's always hurt and this and that, and street clothes. He's supposed to be a great dude. Nico took a little subtle shot at, I mean, again, the culture parallels here to Schottenheimer and McCarthy are almost exact, in my opinion. Nico, during the presser, said, yeah, there are guys who are part of the culture, then there are guys who add to the culture. And everyone says Anthony Davis is a great culture dude. He waived his $6 million trade kicker.
Yeah, exception or trade, whatever it is.
He said, it's the right thing to do. I wanted to give the team more room to play around with. That is an early thumbs up that he should be given credit for. Here's AD finding out about the news.
I was shocked. Like I said, I didn't know. I was actually at home about to watch a movie with my wife and got the phone call. So I had no idea. I just sent the team text about congratulations on a win against the Knicks, big win. And then you know, looking forward to Tuesday's game against the Clippers to, as far as standing purposes, and then found out like an hour later I was no longer with the team. So I was in shock, obviously. I had no idea that, you know, was happening. I mean, now is, you know, I'm kind of over it and just kind of, you know, getting ready to play with Dallas.
Before AD went over and did that, Kyrie twice to the media said, take it easy on him. Said it twice.
Yeah.
Take it easy on him.
Man, that's actually nice. That's like that person you mentioned earlier, how Kyrie's the leader. Like, that is a leadership thing to walk over and just be like, y'all don't be D's. Like, take it easy on
him. It's not his fault. No. He didn't ask for this. He has taken the brunt of the criticism, not directed at him. It's directed at the trade.
Bro, people have not even mentioning him as if he's like a player in the NBA in this
deal.
Oh,
I know.
He's like a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
People are like 30 and 20. Right. No one is bringing that up that he can do that any night he wants to.
Maybe that's good for him, though. Like, in the sense of just he always has had these huge expectations, and people talk about how soft he is and everything. Like, if he's coming in here and people are just like so dismissive that they're going to be like, oh, yeah, this dude can actually play.
People were arguing. Go ahead, John.
It is wild, though. Like, just think of that. Think of what's going on. Like, these are two players that were traded. Their teams were, like, on the road. They weren't even with them. That's just the state of the NBA. Like, I'm just not even with the team. Like, I know you're hurt and everything, but, like, sometimes, like, players will travel even though they're hurt. They're just, I was at home. It's just the NBA, man.
Yeah,
so
he was
wild, watching
a movie with his wife. Luka was getting ready to go to sleep.
They're playing the Knicks. They're playing the Knicks that night.
I like the idea of him just sitting there texting the team like, great win, guys. And he's like, it was an hour earlier, and he's like, why is it red? He's like, why is nobody replying? That's rude.
Anthony Davis said, if not Thursday, then more than likely Saturday at home for the big fella debut. I had some Tolos arguing with me that he was going to get booed. I said, he's not getting booed.
No,
he's not going to get booed. Right?
No, if they ever show Nico on the Jumbotron,
yes.
And of course, now
they're really stupid if they do that.
I mean, they're pretty stupid. But you know, also, I mean, who knows if any fans are going to be there since they're having to, you know, give everybody refunds.
More on that later.
Man, I'll tell you this though, like there are probably enough people in the organization that are so mad this trade that they would just put the camera on Nico. Like, oh, what did I do wrong? I just showed the general manager. I mean, I would do that every day.
There's no way.
Oh, yeah, it does not. I mean, I will say this. It doesn't seem like everybody's just in lockstep with Nico. Like, players clearly are upset. Not like bitter, like, F you, Nico, but they're clearly upset by it. I got to imagine there are people throughout the organization who are not happy with it. Jason Kidd didn't look happy, but, I mean, he never does.
All right, so. You know what?
He looks so bad.
We need to talk. We need to share this blame. Choppy is starting to hear some stuff, all right? Maybe it all should not be on Nico. Is Jason Kidd getting a free pass in all this as well? We have a concert ticket giveaway that you will absolutely want. And the conspiracy theories. People have come out and said they're not moving to Vegas. Stop. Shut it down. The conspiracy theories behind this move. We got another Tolo ticket giveaway. And the Dallas Cowboys sit down with us at 8 o'clock. All that next with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring?
Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are commercial free. We have an amazing Tolo ticket giveaway for you, turning it on, leaving it on, and trusting our coverage from Radio Row here in New Orleans. Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey sitting down with us at 8 o'clock. Bobby got that booking done on the home of the Cowboys, so you will want to hear what Zach Martin says about his future and the change from McCarthy to Schottenheimer. We are brought to you by Stella, the Low-T Center, and Best Buy Windows and Siding.
I didn't appreciate, as I was going back through editing it, I didn't appreciate the ball busting from Zach Martin about me getting the equipment set up. Didn't appreciate it. Was I a new guy's first day here? Is that what this is?
Little... I was a little surprised you weren't better with it.
Oh, I was fine. I was fine.
This it whole, took like, a good, like...
I can't hear... No, it was all set up correctly. The whole time on the recording obviously. Where everybody's saying they can't hear it, it's recording the whole time. I went back and found
but
it.
But should we have heard each other in the headphones?
Yeah.
No, that's that. Like, everybody was hearing other people. It's like, well, I can't hear myself. It's like, all right, well, that doesn't totally matter. All right, let's start, like, flipping stuff around and potentially knock it off if you want. But
it took, like, it was awkward for a good 4 minutes as Bobby was trying to set this up.
It was two.
It was not.
It was two on the recording. It was 2 minutes.
Well, it felt like eight.
Yeah.
Because it was so awkward. They were looking at us like, are you guys the Cowboy station? Yeah. Haven't we been on this before?
Zach dropping the subtle hints. I can't hear myself. I can't hear anybody. I can't hear.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
All right, Zach Martin, Brandon Aubrey, we have a stalker alert. 8 o'clock this morning on DFW Sports Station. All right, Luka Doncic and the Laker press conference yesterday. Here's Luka responding to the criticism of him that has been leaked about conditioning and everything else.
I'm just excited, you know, to be here to start this new journey. And obviously, at some point I knew this was going to happen. But I would say I always take the high road. You know, I had my amazing moments in Dallas with all my teammates, coaches, and the most importantly, the fans. You know, they always supported me, and it was an amazing journey.
At some point, I knew this was going to happen. Some people took that as Lucas saying, I knew they were going to trade me one day. What I think he's saying is, I knew the smear campaign was going to happen at some point in time. That's the way I'm taking it.
I took that to mean like he knew at some point there would be a divorce because of him and Nico is how I felt.
Really?
I mean you saying it that way makes more sense.
I mean we're both guessing.
No, but you say it that way makes more sense to me, but like when I hear it initially, I hear it and I go like
Cuz why would he be so devastated
if he knew it was coming?
Somehow expected it to happen.
I guess he's just like
eventually.
The way I looked at it was like he thought maybe. But see, he also said during the press conference yesterday that he knew he was always going to be a Maverick, or he thought he was always going to be a Maverick. So I guess he was just talking about the smear campaign.
Unless he's saying I knew this was coming in terms of like I knew eventually I was going to be a Laker at some point. That is a possibility too.
Markieff Morris has heard enough. He was a part of the trade as well, and here he is taken up for his still current teammate.
It's a great guy, man. Super low maintenance. Don't need much one of the only guys that I've been on the team with that will play through any injury if he can get on the court. I hear stuff about him not being in shape, but if you can go in an NBA game and get 30, 15, and 10 like it's nothing, then I don't really know what shape is. I'm confused at that part. But you know, and you'll see it really soon. You'll make the suggestion if he's in shape or not.
God, that's a scary quote. He's like, you're about to see it real soon. And again, another Luka advocate. You know, I'm waiting for someone. We're seeing a lot of text messages and hear a lot of whispers here on phones and Radio Row. Nothing from that locker room, though. There's been not 1% suggesting that Luka Doncic was a bad teammate or they had a problem with the way he went about his business.
And you mentioned there, you said, oh, there's another teammate. It's Markieff Morris, whose brother Marcus Morris has had so many issues with Luka during his career.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not throwing him under the bus. He's sitting there going like, no, this is great. It's terrifying. He's going, when he comes back to Dallas, whenever that is, he's going to score 70 again. And yeah, it's going to be just cackling down the floor, looking for Nico wherever
he's sitting. There's going to be no cackling. He's going to, if X-ray vision was a thing or whatever came out of Clark Kent's eyes or whoever the superhero is, that's what it's going to be. There's going to be no cackling. He's going to stare holes through people.
Every reaction to every bucket will be what he did over Gobert in game two.
or what
that
was
will
it?
Be every reaction to every bucket.
Was it the Timberwolves fans were trash talking about half court, and after every shot he'd stare at them like that kind of thing? I mean, he's just
done it to a lot. Snoop.
Snoop. I
the person behind Snoop. Look, Bobby's going to continue to mourn. We have to address this viral conspiracy thing. Yeah. What is this thing?
Okay, so
everyone's sending this to us.
All right, so about a year ago, I'd mentioned that there was like no confidence that gambling was going to get passed through to the Texas House. It wasn't even going to be on the ballot. The Adelson family bought the team. They are basically the managing partners of the Sands Casino Resort in Vegas, right? And they bought the team wanting to bring gambling to Texas and build a casino around a Mavs new arena. The thought process is they had purchased land around Irving, Texas Stadium's old site. Well, they have funneled a lot of money towards the state for gambling, and it's not getting anywhere. And they know this. And I know this because I deal with lobbyists, Sean. So
is that that sounds like a huge miscalculation on their part.
Everyone,
did you think this was definitely going to happen before you get this team?
So billionaires work in the future, and I know this because I'm not one. But like, there are people who have bought acres of land for marijuana farms. Right? They're just anticipating. They got the money. They're just anticipating.
Yeah.
The Adelson family is so rich. Spending $2 billion on the Mavericks and missing out on gambling is worth the maybe $10 billion you get in return. And if that doesn't work, you just sell the team.
Right.
Right? So it's, for them, it's just a worthwhile risk.
Also, when we talk about miscalculation, they did just trade Luka, and we're like, what? People are mad?
Yeah.
This is weird.
So
what's the estimated today value of the Mavericks after this deal? I want Forbes to send that.
Oh, wow.
You got a Forbes guy?
Great question. That's a great
question. How much
did
you decrease?
So, knowing that, all right, this conspiracy theory that has come out, was really, really well done. It was by a guy named Chris Cradaville, who has posted this just unbelievable 6 to 8 step process here, where the first one is, you know, they trade him. Premise one, they trade him. There's a non-basketball explanation for what's going on. That's premise number one. Number two is that the group has no interest in basketball. Like, the Adelson group has no interest in basketball. They're just a means to an end, which is opening up. The white whale of gambling is Texas. From BetMGM to Caesars, I mean, everyone is like, dude, Texas is the white whale. That's what we want. We can't wait for it to happen. And that would be the Mavs with the destination casino. Number three is that, you know, obviously they're trying to push the law, but there has been no grounds, and the Texas legislation session, they only meet every 2 years, which I didn't know.
Wow.
Texas legislators only meet every 2 years to deal with issues, to vote. It's not an everyday thing.
Seems like it should be a little more often.
Should be. So they need leverage. The leverage to get this gambling bill through is a threat. The carrot, which is their money, failed. They need a threat. The threat is, hey, you pass through gambling, or we might, you know, move our business out of state.
Right.
That terrifies states to move business away, especially a state like Texas, where it's all about, hey, bring business here, bring business here. So the goal is to open up this destination casino resort, and if they make the Mavericks so bad that ticket sales go down, value goes down, the NBA is not allowing you to move out of Dallas. The market's too big. But if you're not a viable franchise anymore, if you're not making money, you're not selling tickets, you could convince them when the lease is up in a few years, hey, it's time to go. It allows you to move them to Vegas. Dallas will get another team in 2 seconds.
Lease is up when? 2030?
But there's probably a thing where you can get out of it a couple years early, buy your way out of it. But
trade
Sacramento will move
it
here. Memphis maybe. The Hornets. There's a dozen teams that would move here. They would be a massive upgrade. And the Adelsons get what they want, which is they get to build a casino around a basketball team. And the Mavericks.
And the NBA wants a team in Vegas.
And the NBA wants a team in Vegas. And they don't have to charter a new owner. They have one that is one of the richest in the world. There are only three owners in the world of sports that have more money. And only two of them are American. That's owners in the United States. That's the Walton family in Denver. That's Ballmer. That's it. So that's the premise, that if the local support is abandoned, they have the out to move.
What's premise two? That the ownership group has no interest in basketball?
They're not this is not a basketball
family. So I will say that part of it, when they made the ownership, we read that article in the New York Post that detailed everything Patrick Dumont's done to try and get in place for the NBA for a debt. Like, he is operating it. So if he's, I do think that part of the premise is at least a little off, because they've clearly laid out that he's tried to get involved in the NBA for a decade.
I don't know what this guy does, but I love his Twitter account. Joe Pompliano. Sounds like one of yours.
I've heard of him.
He puts out really good stuff. He said, I've seen a lot of people saying the Mavericks traded Luka so they can move to Vegas. That's not going to happen. If the new ownership group wanted to crush the fan base and kill all interest, they would have traded for a laundry list of draft picks, not a top 10 win now player like Anthony Davis. One. Two, the Adelson family already owns about $20 billion in Vegas Sands stock, providing them plenty of exposure to gambling. They are also actively moving business out of Las Vegas. The company sold its Vegas casino several years ago and now primarily operates resorts in Asia. Three, Dallas is a much larger media market than Vegas, 5 versus 40.
I think we're 4, by the way, now, Joe.
Yeah.
Well.
And the Adelson Dumont families only bought the team because the plan was to build a mixed-use development with a casino around the arena. Four, the NBA is not going to sacrifice a huge expansion fee. Everyone keeps bringing this up as the reason it's not going to happen. There's a $5 to $6 billion expansion fee for Dallas to move to Las Vegas instead. I don't know how the expansion fee works, but they keep saying the NBA is not going to pay that $5 to $6 billion.
You could theoretically get the expansion fee here instead of Vegas.
I'm not buying this. I want to be on record.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. I think they want gambling to get passed here. They already have their foothold in everything in
the
Vegas.
Adelsons. Yeah. Yeah, they do. I think they are realizing that it's not happening right now, especially under this, certainly not in this legislative session.
Yeah.
So it might be 2 years from now. Because we don't know who the governor's going to be. Actually, we know who the governor's going to be. More importantly, you don't know who, like, the lieutenant governor's going to be. Because, like, it's not just the governor who puts stuff on the ballot. You know, it's other people that won't even allow it to be put on the ballot. That's the issue.
Here's the thing, is that all those reasons make sense as to why they wouldn't move. So why would they greenlight a move that's so bad that people go, clearly, the only explanation is you don't want to stay here. If they really like I can't
because
I,
they
I
don't
can't
be, because
my head around
because they don't believe he is solid enough as an individual to lead their franchise.
Would you say
they think he has character flaws? They don't think he look. We all gotta stop being freaking liars here too. All right, during playoff series, when he complains and when he cries, We get a lot. You do get a lot of messages saying they're never going to win a title with him. If he's worn down, people, you have half the city saying he's getting double teamed. He's carrying these group of scrubs, and then you have the other half saying he's fat and he's out of shape. He's a ball hog. He doesn't play the right way. He jacks up his, you know, step back three near half court. Let's stop acting like these things are not consistently said. Now, it's not from the lovers, but you do have that as a topic when Luka has his moments. Nico Harrison is a regimented former basketball player, West Point background. He grew up in the industry around the most Michael Jordan-esque preparer that you could ever dream of in Kobe Bryant. So when he sees Luka, right, it's like you hanging around a who is someone I wouldn't want to drink with because they're Mr. Fitness Guru. You don't want to go out with that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
like lean and mean, and I'm watching my calorie count. I don't want to go out and party with that
beer
person.
Has more than two carbs.
You go ahead and stay fit. That's Nico, I believe, looked at Luka Doncic's work ethic with disgust. This is what I believe. He is a regimented, straight-laced dude, and he had no respect for the way Luka conducted himself as a professional. Nico is just one of these guys, the 1% in the history of sports, who didn't put that to the side for the talent. He didn't put that to the side and say, I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to put up with it because this is a global icon. He goes, nope, that's not the way this organization needs to be led. This guy doesn't have all the intangibles. We're not going to win a championship or multiple with him. That's why it happened.
Yeah,
he does not respect Luka Doncic and the intangibles.
Then that's even worse. That's even worse than just a straight basketball move that you think, like, I think this is for the best of it. Because, like, you're not in here to run, like, a military school and go, like, discipline. Like, at the end of the day,
He's here to build a team with a culture that he sees fit. And he doesn't think that Luka Doncic represents the right type of culture with the way that Luka operates.
Then he's going to have to tear it down to the studs then. Because the way it sounds from the guys in the locker room is that they didn't think it was a problem. So that means that there's a whole culture-wide problem.
Well, he doesn't have to tear it down to the studs because he's got a team that many people think is better.
Yeah, but here's the
problem. he's got a team that many people are saying is the second best team in the Western Conference. I'm just saying what people are saying. He's got a team that people think, hey, he's going to try to get Kevin Durant next. Like, he doesn't have to tear down anything.
But if it's about the regiment, like you say, then clearly if there's like not an issue locker wide with the way that Luka was doing things. That would seem to indicate that there's a locker in there that doesn't view it as regimented as he does. And that would seem to be, if he's so married to this is the idea, then it doesn't matter about the talent. Because he didn't care about the talent with Luka.
He's talking about Nico? Yeah, if that's his thought process. Because if he wants it like this, toughness and regimented, you get a guy that is, many people don't think is tough.
Markeith just said, he's like, I've never seen a guy play through more injury if he can get on the court than Luka.
And like,
I think Nico Harrison thinks Luka Doncic is, you know, untapped. He doesn't care what Luka can do at 80%. He's mad that Luka's not at 100%. I'm just telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I think. And to your point of, look what you just got in Anthony Davis. Well, that doesn't mean Anthony Davis isn't trying to do everything the right way. He may, you know, everyone says Anthony Davis is like a Boy Scout and he's a great culture guy. We keep hearing that. I don't think he doesn't view Anthony Davis as soft. He views Anthony Davis as unlucky. His body has broken down on him, but he's the right type of dude.
Fragile.
He views Luka Doncic as missing games because Luka doesn't put in the work. And Anthony is just his body failing him.
Yeah.
That's the way I think Nico's viewing it.
I think you're right.
I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you what has to be his viewpoint.
I think he is looking at it like that. My issue is that only starts to matter when you're too old for it not to be able to work. When you just went through last NBA postseason and you led the league led the playoffs in every offensive category, and you thought 8 months later it was a good idea to trade that for a guy who hadn't been to, who had
bro I agree.
He had what was the last time that the AD even won a playoff series?
You said it earlier, Sean. Like, this is
Anthony Davis is scared in a lot of moments. Like, he's fine some days with just scoring like 8 points. I've seen it way too many times. It's maddening.
You said it earlier. Like, this is at every turn, every press conference, every bit of information that comes out, this is getting worse. Like it's like the reverse of what's gone on with Schottenheimer, which people still dislike the Schottenheimer thing. But in general, like the peak of people being upset was the moment they hired Brian Schottenheimer. And since then, some of it's tapered off for some people. The peak of people being upset about the Luka trade was not the second. Like, it's gone up. Like, people keep going, like, this is worse. This isn't better. Yeah. Like, that's the scary thing about it. It's like, okay, what's tomorrow going to bring? What piece of information will next week bring?
Bobby, here's a fact I'm about to tell you. We all think that we're right. There's a chance, and what I'm saying is a fact, it's not an opinion. There's a chance, a small one, in my opinion, that this works.
There's a chance.
There's a possibility that Luka Doncic breaks down, does not stay healthy, the Mavs luck out with a title, maybe two. Luka never wins one in L.A. or wherever he ends up. Mm-hmm. Niko Doncic will have been proven right. Just because we all have these reactions doesn't mean we're correct.
Yeah.
Well, our opinions are not facts. Yeah. I'm just giving the opposite perspective.
No, I get it.
Everything about it is a lose. The L becomes a larger letter for them by the day, the Mavericks and Niko. Mm. A bigger, fatter L. From the press conference to the reasoning to the smear campaign, all that stuff. I'm just saying we're acting like we know what the outcome's going to be. Yeah. We don't.
Right. And you're not talking about the what they got back in the trade, because there will literally never be anything to justify what they got back in the trade. Even if they're right that Luka breaks down something like that, they could have gotten more. There's no doubt about it. So we're literally just talking about the idea of Luka going, because that forever will be. If the report is true that Pelinka talks you off of a player and an extra one, the fact that other executives are saying we would have given you everything if you would have told us Luka was available, that's the part that's...
Oh, the return will never, ever, ever. That is an unjustified...
They could win a title for the next five years and that would still not be okay.
It's so much about the right kind of guy, right? That right kind of player.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a question about, like... Did he not stick with Kobe through the rape trial with Nike when he was when he was there?
Yeah, loyalty.
The what?
Yeah, I mean it was like this a big example of loyalty people talked about with Niko when he got hired.
That was a stage in which maybe Niko was trying to be on the come up.
Oh, yeah, so it's okay.
He wasn't established.
It's okay at that time, you know, like it's just okay to just change your morals or whatever.
I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying maybe that's a little bit of the snake in Niko of, I'm attached to this guy. I know he's a global superstar.
He's a golden goose.
He's a golden goose. So I don't know. Maybe that was a little selfishness. I have no
idea. What year was that? That was 04, I think.
I don't remember.
And by the way, I personally, in the I know Kevin Hagelin would destroy me over this. I remember during that time, I didn't think Kobe was guilty of the accusations. He was guilty of cheating on his wife, but I was like, this girl, I remembered her. I thought she slept around and all this and that, but maybe I'm biased because I was a Kobe fan. But I remember in the moment saying, like, I don't think he did it. So I just want to put that out there. All right. The Dallas Cowboys sit down with us coming up in 15 minutes. Let's hook you up for Turning It On, Leaving It On right now.
She was like, oh my God.
That's right now. Call at number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets. See Luke Bryan at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas on Friday, June 20th. That's call at number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, thank you all for turning it on, leaving it on. We are live in New Orleans, day two, Radio Row. But we had to get here, and we got here separately. After the airplane, it was Choppy and Bobby in a vehicle on the way over, and that leads to chopping it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
RJ Choppy doesn't know how to ride in silence.
Oh, you were hijacking my segment, huh? You're hijacking it.
I just said audio.
I have an Uber question problem from last night that I'll get to. After Bobby does this.
Oh, okay.
RJ Choppy doesn't know how to ride in silence, and it became painfully obvious when we were riding back from the airport. So we had this this driver who was in his late 60s, and...
Benham.
Was that his
Benham.
Name? Could not understand most of what he was saying.
Absolutely not. And he wanted to talk. That's why I talk, because he wanted to talk.
Well, we would have extended periods of silence where then Chop would be like, how about this weather? like just old man conversations of just like, we needed this rain. Like he's yeah, coming with that energy. So
is it the way it is in your house? You guys can't sit in silence at all?
No, we sit in silence. We're watching shows, but we have like our conversations don't really stop. But there are times when we're sitting in silence, we're totally comfortable.
So I want you to listen to this, Sean, and see how you would have felt about Choppy continually bringing up conversation points. And you're now the driver. You're gonna have a hard time hearing him because we couldn't understand him hardly. He talks pretty quiet, and the car's in. So you'll hear him. You may not be able to make out everything he says, but you will hear Choppy continuing this conversation nonstop. This is Cut 16, Peyton.
All highways closed.
The highways were closed?
All highways closed 4 days. After 60 years, the snow is coming in New Orleans.
It was the first time in 60 years?
60 years.
Wow. Well, you got 60 years worth of it, I'll tell you that. How long will you drive today for?
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Where are you from? I detected a Persian accent.
From
Iran. Ah.
I lived 12 years in Turkey.
12 years?
12 years.
And you moved here when you were 12, you said?
Yeah, 12 years. I lived in Istanbul, Turkey. I am engineer. I am industrial engineer. I have master. I am designer agriculture machine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm 68 years old.
Woo-wee.
Awkward.
You move well for 68. My dad was 68. He was already losing his mind.
So, my favorite part of that is where the guy's talking for about 20 seconds, and the chop goes, oh, yeah? He has no idea what he said. No clue what he said.
I knew it was a Persian accent.
I think the drop needs to be, am I detecting a bit of a Persian accent? Am I detecting a Persian accent?
I was like, what are you doing? And so, at this point, we start driving by the Superdome. And Choppy's got a comment. He just, like, again, can't write sides. He goes, oh, look, the Superdome. And so this was that spurred a conversation about the Super Bowl with our driver.
Superdome. Sunday, and they will be busy.
It's going to be busy there Sunday?
Sunday is the Super Bowl. That's Super Bowl.
What's it for? Why is it going to be busy?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl?
Yeah, Super Bowl. Sunday.
Here?
Yeah, it's Kansas City and other team I forget.
Other
Sunday,
team I forget.
Yeah. Kansas City and...
Is it Dallas? Is that the other team?
Yeah.
It's Dallas?
Yeah. Last 2 years is champion Mahon, Kansas City.
Never would have guessed it. They weren't even in the original Tecmo Bowl.
RJ did this to the bartender too. She's like, are you guys here for the Super Bowl? He goes, what's that? His bit is not knowing anything about sports, football, and the Super Bowl.
That's
is Dallas? Yeah, so, is Dallas in it?
So this guy ended up telling us his. He told us he was a chef originally. Like that's what he had done previously. So Choppy decided to start. You know, basically throwing a culinary question at him, get his culinary expertise, and this is right before he ultimately almost kills us as we park.
You worked in a restaurant, you said? You were a chef?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know why I said C. That's not the right language, but...
Wait, what? Hey, stop it.
I said C. Like, yes. It's Spanish. I don't know why I said C.
Wait.
That's the wrong language.
You worked in the restaurant C?
Wait, hang on. Hang on. How do you say yes in Persian? I don't know if C... No, it's not C. How do you pronounce yes in Farsi? All right, I don't think it's C. Pepe, play that from the beginning.
You worked in a restaurant, you said? You were a chef?
Yeah.
See? Yep. When you're cooking with seafood, and then you go and you switch to cook to steak.
Oh, God.
Does the seafood contaminate the steak at all?
The taste?
I look only pizza. I make it only pizza.
Okay, all right. Pizza. You know what? That's fine. Anchovies? Sardines? You can put sardines on a pizza?
Anchovies, yes. And hamburger.
Uh-huh.
Special hamburger. Meat is very good meat.
What do you think about cucumbers on pizza? That's it. There we are.
It's good here.
Oh. Yeah, we're good.
This dude tries to, in the middle of a one-way street, he stopped his car to back into a spot, then straightened it out, and there's cars coming, and they're like, they start laying on the horn.
They do not slow down on our road.
No.
Is he a pizza maker?
That's what, so he had told us he was a chef, and then when Choppy hit him with culinary courses, he went, Well, I mean, I only make pizzas.
Okay. A Persian accent.
So that was the whole 20-minute ride, Choppy just throwing question after question at this guy, and then Choppy not even understanding what he was saying.
He wanted to talk. I was there to oblige.
Yes.
I had no problem obliging.
Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, so my question about Uber. So Rube and I were in the Uber last night coming back from the casino, actually going to the media party.
How great. I mean, Ruben's a great glue guy, huh?
Tremendous glue guy.
Tremendous.
Ruben's a great road trip person.
I mean, he is down for whatever the group is doing.
Just look at his earrings. By the way, how many different earrings do you have? Those are different earrings than you had on the other day, right? So he's changed. Okay, he's got four different pairs. So he's changing up the earring look.
So he was late yesterday coming down to the. He said meet at 5:45. He was late, and he's like, sorry, my ear was bleeding because he was changing out his earrings and he's like stabbed himself in the wrong spot or whatever. So it hit me yesterday because same thing happened with our guy Benham. And then this dude last night,
the Guatemalan.
What is up with like the Uber drivers that just sit there in complete still air, no air movement whatsoever?
Thank you. The amount of ride shares, I believe they don't have working air conditioning, and their radios don't work. I didn't know that there were so many cars were radio. I go, can you play music? I don't want to sit here and does it. Can you put on the station? Can you put on that? Oh, sorry, my radio. I didn't pay for the subscription. I can maybe do it off my phone. No AC and no radios working.
How are you just driving around in complete still air?
My aunt in California, I can't go visit her because she doesn't put the air conditioning on.
Like nothing?
Just nothing. Like people that can just sit in that. You got your room worked on.
I had to get it worked on last
week. Did they fix it?
Yeah.
The air conditioning?
Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah.
Feels great. But like, you know, we were just sitting. It was completely still. I mean, I feel bad. Like, because I don't want to say anything. I just cracked my window in the back.
You need him to ride with you that first Uber we got in the first night. Sean's going like, hey, roll down the window. Sir, roll down the window or get the AC right. He's like, guys, talk to him. He can't hear me back here. And then he's telling Chop, he's like, Chop, turn that music up.
Oh, yeah.
And Chop goes, I'm not going to touch a man's radio. He goes, you're the passenger. Turn it up.
Yeah, not touching it. But I put in my request, cool. And then they take no conversation as no radio. Uber, Lyft, you need to adjust that, guys, please. The talking thing they take, I don't want to talk to you. No conversation, but they take that as no sound.
Right.
But I put, cool. I got my air preference.
I gotta do that. I got to go back to my preferences. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting, like, every time you get in, the amount of people that just ride around in completely still air.
And in this city?
And in this city, yeah.
Zach and Eric did a video about
a Persian accent.
They did a video about the city smelling.
Smell.
They did a video about
smells like creek water.
Walking from here back to the hotel, I got to hold my breath.
Well, speaking of smelling, it's a great day for the city to smell because it covers up you. Because today is National Fart Day.
Oh, gosh.
And yesterday should have been for me because I don't know if you noticed, when we were up there in that bounty thing, I kept going behind the curtain about 17 times.
Yeah, I wondered what you were doing.
Oh,
I
had some wicked gas. I didn't want Zach to come on up and just get a nostril full of that. But I've been saving this story for about a week, and that's the 25-year-old woman in the UK who pled guilty to the first ever crime of cyber farting. She was taking videos of herself breaking wind and sending it to her boyfriend's ex, and she got a harassment charge. She got fined $300 for cyber farting of sending videos. So, happy National Fart Day.
RJ Choppy saving it in the only segment that he was going to be able to squeeze it in and squeeze it out.
Still waiting for Sarah to do that around me for the first time.
Oh, she hasn't?
No, and you don't
well
love...
Well done, Sarah.
But that's the thing. You don't love somebody until you pass gas around them.
Grant Paulson thought we were clapping for him. 106.7 The Fan in D.C. There it is, chopping it up during the Hump Day edition on DFW Sports Station. What was wrong with Mike McCarthy's culture, and is Zach Martin hanging them up? We are going to go hanging them up, them up, hanging them up. Is Zach Martin going to retire? And a Brandon Aubrey stalking story. All next on the Home of the Cowboys with Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey sitting down with us next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan.
The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.